It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Life's busy. Take this deck. There's heaps to do on it. Like, polishing off this wine. That's tough. Life's pretty good with a Trex deck. Composite decking with no hard maintenance. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.
Yablet! 4 goals to Yablet.
Oh, Tarasenko, you're guilty!
Justin Madden's got the set. One hand.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it. Talk about a he-man.
Rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
This is your football life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Oh, Matty, have we got a life to celebrate in footy today? And a young gun, the son of this absolute champion, is making his way. So the big thing is that This Is Your Football Life is a very popular program right around the nation, and people get together in coffee shops or just driving along. And you try and work out who it is. Well, today's man will take his place rightfully in the history of the game when it's written, not only at his clubs, but at the VFL AFL. 249 VFL games for Collingwood and Melbourne. Twice Brownlow medalist, 79 and 84. Twice Collingwood best and fairest. All-Australian AFL Hall of Fame inductee. And was just an amazing man in 1979 when I started broadcasting on 3AW to see the good old-fashioned long bombs to Snake from North Melbourne and long bombs to this man in the square, and he didn't let the crowd down who went ape droppings. Peter Moore, this is your footy life, and it's lovely to catch you, Maury.
Great to talk to you, Rex. Fantastic.
Oh, you should be so proud of your record, and I know your boy, and we're going to get on to him in a moment. And, you know, what advice you're giving him, or you're taking a step back like parents, sometimes like to do. But it all started for you at Eltham High School at the Eltham Footy Club. Tell us about the early days of a young blonde boy who just loved the game of footy.
Well, Rex, it was interesting because my family wasn't really interested in football. My dad, parents are sort of, dad was a university type professor and he was actually a runner, an athlete. And so we didn't really grow up with much, involvement in AFL or VFL as it was then. But when I got to school, of course, I got involved in footy and really enjoyed it and started my footy career at Eltham Footy Club, the local team, just with some mates from school playing in the under-13s it was then. That's when you could start. And I think I was about 11 when I started and played right through at Eltham until under-17s and had a brief sort of 7 or 8 games in the seniors as a 15, 16-year-old. And that didn't end well with a bit of a concussion injury from some of the willing, experienced fellows in the Diamond Valley sort of fixed me up pretty quick. So that was the end of that senior appearance. I ended up then, of course, at Collingwood as a 16-year-old or turning 17 in my first year. So, yeah, it was it was a pretty direct line on the train down from Eltham to Victoria Park.
This is Peter Moore, folks. If you've just got out of the sack, well, just pay attention because he's a star, mate. Now, one of your very good mates, the famous Collingwood name of Tony Shaw, said that Diamond Valley League was one of the toughest leagues of all time. Well, I played the other side of the Yarra in the Federal. I'll tell you what, it was the VFL, VFA, and then it was the Federal and the Diamond Valley equal. If you didn't make it there, mate, you're on the sidelines with a slab because they tested you out very early. Do you think, although that's not acceptable now, the bashing and that sort of thing, that set you up and hardened you up a little bit?
Oh, I think it did, definitely. I mean, even the underage football in the Diamond Valley was pretty tough.
Yeah.
We played teams like West Heidelberg, North Heidelberg, Laylor, Epping, all those sort of teams, which were pretty ferocious. So yeah, it was not for the faint-hearted in the Diamond Valley in those days.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I think it's cleaned up a lot with a couple of umpires and the order off rule and all that. I actually coached up there for a year. And they had the order off rule, which I thought worked really well to sort of handle that. So yeah, but it was Rex. Any of those that era when there was one umpire, you were a bit of a sitting duck at times. So you just had to get used to it.
It's a great football club. You know, I know that my late father-in-law played in three grand finals in the 30s and back-to-back premierships before he went to captain coach Hawthorn and was part of a great era at Collingwood. The expectation back then, he said, before he passed away, was just immense. But when you arrived at Victoria Park, even though you didn't have a background in footy of that sort of fanaticism, were you well aware of the expectation of a Collingwood player when he ran on to Victoria Park and other grounds?
Yeah, well, I know. I played on you one day there at Victoria Park.
Oh,
I
remember. Did you kick about 11, did you?
Yeah, no, I think I was playing centre-half back and you were playing centre-half forward. So I just followed you around punching away all day. That's all. I didn't even get a, I don't think I got a kick. I just had to stop you getting one. But
I think you're being very kind there, Peter.
It was pretty. It wasn't a hard job because I was able to follow you around and know what I was doing. But yeah, but Victoria Park. I mean, what a cauldron it was, particularly for the visiting teams. And you know, it was. It's fantastic old style footy down there. And you know, I go often to the VFL. Darce was playing a few VFL games down there. And go to watch them sometimes, even when he's not playing. And the, you know, people love going there. It's still, they've sort of renovated the ground and kept some of the historic things like, you know, the entrance and the turnstiles and the scoreboard and all that jazz. And it's you know, the Collingwood people sort of regard it still as a spiritual home. So it was a fantastic thing. But playing for Collingwood, particularly in the finals, you know, was just remarkable. Just a bit like Richmond, you know, Richmond, Collingwood, Essendon, those sort of things. It's really a massive event when you make the finals. And,
well, in your debut year in, I think it was 74, wasn't it? You played in a semi-final against Hawthorn in front of 87,000, and that was a very good example of what you're talking about. Is that I noticed in the press this week that, you know, Richmond had just sneezed a little bit ahead of the carrying bush that I like to call them. But if Collingwood get back up into the finals, mate, Collingwood will just go bang. It was just an amazing thing. The support worldwide is amazing for Collingwood.
Yeah, well, it's a juggernaut of a club, and it's great that it is, you know, for the club financially, I suppose, what makes it a very strong club. But, yeah, in those days, you know, when we hadn't, you know, in the 70s, they'd been in the finals a bit, but then won the Wooden Spoon in when we had Murray Wiedemann coaching in when I was first there in sort of 75, 76, and then when Tom Hafey came in 77 and we started to perform, well, then it just went crazy, and we had, you know, massive crowds and big memberships. It was really exciting.
And, Pete, you had a lot to do with that. And, folks, if you just joined us, Pete is Peter Moore, a worthy member of the This Is Your Football Life on behalf of Tobin Brothers. Don't get worried. We're just celebrating your life before you cark it, mate.
That's right. Yeah, it could be soon,
Hafey, you know, what an era at Richmond. But the Richmond people, like a lot of other clubs, if you don't get instant success, you're out. And he found his way to Collingwood. What were the first impressions of this man? Because I have had various feedback that he might have trained you a bit hard, but gee, I reckon when you win games, you don't worry about how hard you trained.
No, well, I really enjoyed it when Tommy came, and we had we obviously clearly weren't fit previously, and so the training was really hard. But you know, as a raw sort of 19-year-old, I was when he arrived, you know, the training didn't bother me. It was fantastic. I mean, and we just transformed the team, you know, almost overnight. And we got up to the finals and played off in the grand final draw and replay, which we unfortunately lost. But, you know, that was the beginning of an era where we played, you know, five or six years of the finals every year. And we were always kind of threatening and played in, including the draw, five grand finals with Tommy. And, you know, it was absolutely amazing what he was able to do. I thought, you know, he was a fantastic guy. He was hard on the players, which meant that he had probably a limited life as a coach at a particular club. You know, it happened in most of the clubs he was at. You know, the players sort of got a bit over it at times towards, you know, after a few years, because he was very regimented, didn't change anything. So it was years of the same old, same old. So guys were certainly feeling the pinch of it after a couple of years.
Peter Moore, the biggest change I reckon he made was that he showed when he went to Victoria Park why he was successful at Richmond. Get the ball in the centre, Barrett, Burke and Clay. Kick it long to Royce in the square and Rex and Barmy, get out of his way. Kick it long from the centre of Victoria Park to Moore in the goal square, take a mark and kick a goal. Tell us how the transition from the ruckman follower forward saw you be one of the premier full forwards of your time.
Well, initially I started, I was playing ruck in the seconds, and then I couldn't get a game, so I ended up going to centre-half back for a sort of half a season in my first year, and that was a good position to sort of learn the pace. And then when Tom arrived, he thought I could make a forward because Len Thompson was in the ruck, you know, at that time at Collingwood, the first ruck, and he was a champion of the game and Brownlow medalist, and it was clearly I wasn't going to push him out. So I turned myself into a full forward, which I'd played at Eltham in the seniors. I'd played full forward. So I sort of turned myself into a forward ruckman for a couple of years, and then that went well. You know, kicked quite a lot of goals. The game plan was sort of designed, as you say, around kicking long to me in the square. So I got plenty of opportunity to go for marks and kick goals. And then we had pretty good crummers like Ray Shaw and those sort of guys, you know, swooping on the ball, Ricky Barham. And that. And so that was the idea, kick it long and contest, bring it down, and they'd kick the goals. And a simple game plan, but it worked well for us. And then in 79, Tomo they moved Tomo on to, I think he went to Fitzroy or somewhere, and then moved into the ruck, and so then started to see really develop my ruck game, which is a good thing because I probably wasn't ready before that in terms of physically being strong enough.
But
it worked well.
Can you relate this with the boy at the moment, with your lad? Because it must be hard for mum and dad to sit up there and see blokes target at him, and or he doesn't get up, you know, after taking a heavy blow. I'm impressed with the way that he wants to put his body in front and stretch his arms out rather than taking the safe chest mark. Yibbity yibbity, Maury. I know where he got that from. You've given something to him, and that's a great gift because the kid wants to play, but he wants to learn. Am I on the mark?
Yeah, you are. He's a real stick to the game. He loves it. He's absorbing sort of all the coaching. They get a lot of coaching, obviously, in the clubs these days. So he's trying to take all that on board. He only had to switch shoes. They groomed him as key backman this year, and then decided halfway through the year to switch him forward. So he had to make that adjustment. But, yeah, I mean, his attack on the ball is fantastic. He's always been that way. He'll just throw himself at the aerial contest. And, you know, he's pretty fearless with it. And occasionally, when they stick, it looks great. So. But yeah, he's very competitive. He runs hard, and he just wants to get involved. So so far, we're really happy. It is a bit nerve wracking. More nerve wracking about that he plays well. You just like him to play well, and
but also, mum's pretty keen that he doesn't limp off or is not as a head eye tackle or something. So
yeah, and she's more concerned he doesn't get any tattoos, I think.
Goodness me, join the comedy clan that I married into, mate. Just said, going to take a break, real ace. Gee, this is enjoyable. This is Peter Moore, if you didn't recognise the career or the voice. He's talking about his son, Darcy, who's just coming along beautifully. And out of the break, we're going to talk about those grand final losses because I reckon, you know, you can take a lot out of it and it means more to you, you know, to actually play your best. And at times, I suppose, Collingwood just weren't quite there, and that's when the luck comes into it. And out of the break, with Calvin Templeton, Peter Moore heads to Melbourne for the first big fiscal deal in the history of the game. Right around Australia, Peter Moore, this is your football life.
Dream rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
You're listening to This Is Your Football Life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals. Celebrating lives.
Well, what a start from our star today, Peter Moore. Yeah, humble beginnings, becomes a household name, falls in love with a lady, and they have a boy who's now following in the footsteps of his old man. A lot of fine football names have had sons try to make it but haven't, and the pressure has been too much. Tell us about the pressures of your young lad because of his surname Moore.
Well, that's a good point, Rex, and obviously it does create some pressures, you know, like young Gary Ablett and people like that, you know, that have he's kicked out of Dilf. There are a lot of sons that haven't quite made it, and I guess it's a bit luck of the draw. Firstly, you've got to have the physical ability, and the good thing with Das was he always seemed to have that ability, and he grew. He became, you know, a big kid and very athletic, and fortunately was showing a lot of promise even as a really young kid. So for him, you know, being my son hasn't really been an issue. I never coached him. I always got involved with his footy clubs, but I was the assistant coach or the runner. I just try to keep in the background a little bit and help the coach, but let the coach, someone else coach him. I think that helped. And all I try to do now is just to maybe help him with the emotional side of footy, you know, to try to handle the mental pressures of football rather than you know, actually playing the game, because he's got plenty of coaches to do that. But, you know, he doesn't feel a weight of expectation. He just feels that, you know, he belongs and he's good enough and yeah. He's going to make his own way. And he's a bit different to me in terms of, well, he plays similar positions, I suppose. But he, you know, for example, with the number, he's always worn number 30 since he was 2 years old, got his first Collingwood jumper. And, and I said to him, look, when you go to, you don't have to wear my number if you don't want, you know, use your own or trying to create your own. And he said, Dad, I've got news for you. It's not your number. It's my number.
Isn't that magnificent?
So, yeah, that's the way you
approach it. Isn't that magnificent?
Really him making his own.
It might just be a little ingrown thing, but hey, Dad, I love you. But
It's a double-edged sword because being my son, it gives him an opportunity, but then if you don't deliver, it's a bit of focus on that.
I preface this by saying, you know, were they real, the collie wobbles? Did you feel pressure in all of those grand finals, particularly when coming so close and Twiggy rescuing you in 77 and then you kicking 5 in the replay? Did it mentally get to you? Because I know, you know, in my career, a couple of times, just say, you know, I'm playing against Moore, or I'm playing against Knights or whoever, you know what I mean? I got no hope. And unfortunately, sometimes the airhead demons can get you before you even run onto the turf.
Oh, it's very true, Rex. I think, looking back on it, I think initially it didn't bother me when I was in the first, you know, the 77 finals, because I was just so young. I was happy to be there. I didn't really understand the importance of it. I was just trying to do my bit, and fortunately played well through that final series. And then, but after losing, then, you know, you're backing up in subsequent years, 78, I don't think we made it, but then 79, 80, 81, we were in the grand final each of those years and couldn't quite do it. And when you get in there, I think what happens, and you would have experienced this as well in big matches, is you can sometimes be so desperate to win that you get over-anxious. Oh. Everybody gets over-anxious. And you're making bad mistakes and don't have any energy because your anxiety levels are too high because you're worried about the result and the outcome and not winning the game. Because when you play well and win the game, you don't even think about that. You know, you're just looking for the ball. And so, yeah, I agree. I think the pressure was there and the expectation was massive. And I think today the psychology and the sports psychology and the coaching is a lot different in that they don't try to hype the blokes up, whereas when we play finals, you know, everyone wanted to hype you up and rev you up, but now it's more about staying calm and focusing and figuring out what you've got to do. So,
are you like me, Grandpa, and, you know, you're enjoying the best part of life? There's a little bit of the old Peter Moore say, this bloke needs a rocket, because I do. I sit back on the television and say, don't pat him on the back, kick him in the backside, you know, but, you can't do that now, Dad. Bulldust, you can't. But I mean, to say, you know, we might be going a little bit the other way, being a little bit too correct, because a rev never hurt you or me.
No, we used to get plenty of them. I mean, Tommy was ruthless with it, but always, you know, constructive criticism, and he wasn't personally abusive with guys, but gee, you know, he was formidable. You didn't want to cross him too much, but. Yeah, today the coaching's different. They do nurse them through and keep their confidence up, and I don't know whether the players today would tolerate being spoken to the way, say, Jock McHale or one of those would have, or Ron Barassi, or
you'd have been running Tom laps. Afey. You'd been running laps and kicking the frost off the ground now. One of the greatest names the game has ever heard of is Ron Barassi. The lure for you to cross as captain of Collingwood after Hafey left, and the lure of Calvin Templeton, who was captain out at the Western Oval, the lure together with something that may well set you both up for life with your families because it was a great deal. Tell us about the consideration and the move to the great MCG for you from Collingwood.
Well, it was an interesting, obviously tumultuous period. In 1982, we'd lost the 81 grand final, and the fallout from that was basically that, you know, the Tommy's sort of influence over the players started to wane, and we really did, you know, we really needed to change the coach, I think, and the club elected not to, and of course we had a terrible year the following year and lost the first 10 games, and Tom ended up getting a sack, and it was badly handled, and I was sort of half blamed for it in a way, which I didn't think was fair, and the place was just in turmoil, and I think as a young sort of captain, young player, I just got overwhelmed by the whole situation, and decided that I'd be better to be out of it and try to, you know, get a fresh start in somewhere else, which is really the motivation for wanting to leave. And then going to Melbourne, I thought would be exciting with Barassi there, and they were recruiting some other good players like Kelvin Templeton, Brian Wilson, and all those sort of guys, and Robbie Flowers.
The late Robbie Flower.
Yeah,
wow.
A tremendous guy. I knew Robbie really well. And Paul Baker was there, who was a mate of mine from interstate footy. So I just thought, well, you know, I just was feeling the pressure, and I guess in those days, didn't really have anyone to mentor and advise and tell me, you know, to just tough it out and that it would all be okay. So ended up making the decision to go to Melbourne, which in retrospect may have been the wrong decision. I don't know. But anyway, nevertheless, I made that decision and copped a bit of flack from the Collingwood people, unfortunately, for doing it, which is understandable. And then it was a pretty exciting time, really. It reinvigorated my career. And I loved my involvement with Barass. I mean, we had a pretty fiery relationship, but we, as he did with most of his star players, but we were, you know, just a fantastic fella. So we were great friends.
Any similarities between the great late Tom Hafey and the great Ronald Dale Barassi, apart from the Rev, you know, Razzamadaz, similar or subtly different coaches to a young Peter Moore?
I think they were different, very different, Rex. I found them to be different. I think Tommy was less flamboyant than Ron, very solid and had a plan and a system, and he stuck with it, and he just plugged guys in, and if you didn't...
But just interrupting you there, also so loyal to his players, sometimes to the detriment of the team. Expecting,
I agree.
You're expecting, oh, he'll turn it around. Not all bad, but in hindsight, perhaps that's something you could have said about Tommy, that he was too loyal, but I reckon he might take that.
Yeah, he was, and he wasn't as sophisticated a coach as some others in the sense that, like, he'd leave a guy on the wing, for example. One day Wayne Gordon was getting flogged by Stan Ells, and he left him there all day. You probably would have called that game. He left him there all day, and we just got slaughtered on down that side of the ground. So, you know, he was very loyal to his players to a fault, I think, as you say. And then and Barass was really trying to do something big at Melbourne. So, if anything, he probably overcoached, you know, tried to sort of take too much responsibility for, you know, winning, where it's really up to the players in the end. But Barass sort of took it as if it was his role to try and personally win games. And it was a very different experience. I mean, it was it was great, though. And Melbourne, I think, improved under Ron. And then finally, when he left, John Naughty came. And John, I think, was a very excellent coach. And he capitalised on probably the groundwork that Ron had done, but didn't quite see it come good, you know.
Time is getting away. This is Peter Moore, folks. Just a delight to have this man on who's given so many thousands upon people, you know, great times. What do you do with yourself now, Pete?
I've been involved for the last 25 years in resources, mining and oil and gas sort of exploration projects. My dad was a geologist, and that's how I got involved in it. And we've had a technology company that's involved in exploration, and we've got, you know, projects going on with the company I'm with at the moment in America. So I do a lot of work in Nevada and on these sort of gold and copper exploration projects.
Okay, before we let you go, Peter Moore, your tip for the Brownlow, of course, all the rage was Fife. He got injured. Then Goldstein came very, very hard. Dangerfield's had an unbelievable 8 weeks. Hannabury. The common denominator there is that all those sides win games, and I think, you know, it's well known that you've got a good chance of getting three if you're in a winning side.
I agree with that. I think I'd love to see Goldstein get up, because it's been typically, you know, a bit of a midfielder's award the last 10 years or so, I think since Jimmy Steins or Scott Wine, I think one of them was for the last ruckman. So being an ex-ruckman, I'd love to see Todd get up. But my feeling, I reckon Hanbury, I just think he's had an outstanding year. It's a bit off the radar because he's up in Sydney, but I think he's had a terrific year. And also, you know, he the rest of his team hasn't really fired all year, so he probably was a shining light there. So, yeah, I think he'd have a good chance. And Todd Goldstein, I think, as well.
Fantastic. It's been wonderful. I've got Rex's Mad Minute for you. Just very short answers. Your favourite food?
What are we going to say there? My favourite food's probably steak.
Favourite movie?
Favourite movie, Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, join the club. So many of those. On my day off, if I had 2 or 3 weeks' notice, I will do this.
Play golf.
Who will win this year's flag?
I think West Coast.
When I get around to it, and I'm not so busy, to treat myself, I will.
Spend a month in Spain.
Goodness me, you can go up into France and say to Robert Walls and say, I've gone all the other side around the world, Walls, so you get away from you. And you can eat croissants together on the border. It's been a delight, Pete. And look after that lovely family of yours and your grandchildren. You've got a great horizon. But that boy, I know potential's a nasty word, but I just got a feeling about him. And thanks for your time today. It's just been so enjoyable.
Oh, thanks, Rex. And yeah, and the goodwill for Das from everybody is terrific. So let's hope it all goes well for him. And you know, we can enjoy the footy for years to come with him doing well.
Peter Moore, folks.
Good to catch up with you.
Peter Moore. And if you'd like to hear extended versions of this interview, check out facebook.com/Tobin Brothers Funerals or follow us on Twitter at Rex Footy Life. Join us next week from 7:30 a.m. Sunday morning, 11:16 SEN and relays, as we delve into the mystery of This Is Your Football Life with a star again.
Sometimes needing new tyres can catch us by surprise. That's why Tyre Power gives you the power of Zip Pay and Zip Money. You can get what you need now, get back on the road safely and pay for it later. Terms and conditions apply. So visit tyrepower.com.au or call 13 21 91.